And you have to sit in a room for hours and hours and hours, which is huge, a gigantic room. There's probably 300-400 people in there that got called into. And you sit there and you kill time. And then finally, if there's a case that comes up, they call in a bunch of people and they start going through and picking and picking and picking and picking. And I was thinking, God, I don't want to do this. Just don't put me in this situation. Don't stick me in a jury. I don't want to be here for a week dealing with this junk and having to decide what happens with somebody, because we've been on a jury before. So I wasn't really thrilled about the idea. And lo and behold, you go through all these 200 people in the courtroom and they decide that, yes, you're on the jury now. And God, you got a plan. I don't know what the plan is. So this man came in and he was the defendant, and they didn't really talk about him that much at that point. He's accused of doing this or this and this and this. So they had three major charges against him. All three of them would have put him in jail for the rest of his life. And so we were going to decide whether this man went to the jail for the rest of his life or whether he didn't. And they started bringing in witnesses. And basically what it was everybody under, this guy was a drug kingpin, and everybody down underneath him were all of his underlings that sold drugs, essentially. And he got down to the bottom. Well, they busted all these people, and give me your boss, you know. And so the DA's building his case. He's talking about all these different, you know, this person comes in, and this person comes in. And he got to this one guy. He looked clean cut, and if you saw him on the street, you couldn't tell him between anybody, because he didn't, you know, no tattoos, didn't have long hair, didn't look like anything. He just looked like an ordinary guy. But when that man walked in the courtroom, the hair on the back of my neck stood straight up on end, and I had goosebumps down my arm, and God was telling me that this guy was not normal. I didn't know anything about the guy. I'm just, you know, I try not to, you don't try to make first impressions of people. You know, you don't judge. It's not our right to judge. But God was specifically talking to me about this man. As soon as he walked in the room, I immediately went to prayer. I'm sitting there with my eyes wide open, sitting there in a court case, and this man's walking in, and he has got something on him that is not right. And I couldn't stand to be in the same room as the man. I never, didn't even know anything about him. As he gets in there, and he goes, yeah, that guy's the one who did it, you know, and he's a this, and he's a that, and he's, you know, the guy's just ripping this poor guy apart across this, you know, this, the defendant. I have no idea, you know, we don't know if it's true or not, but anyway, then I start hearing from the other witnesses about who this guy was that was on the stand that was freaking me out, who he really was. And he was not a pleasant man. He had done things that were just horrible. I can't even get into that because we're in church. I would never speak of something like that, but this man was the worst person I've ever seen in my life when I found out the things he had done. And all I could do was say, God, I know you love everybody. And, you know, he's just as easy can get saved as me. And I know you love him just as much as me. Why are you showing me this about this guy that is so out there? I just didn't get it. Just didn't get it. I just kept praying and praying and praying. And what was happening was the rest of the jury was getting influenced by what this guy was and his persona about him. And plain and simple is that man had a spirit of Satan on him that was incredible. I'd never felt anything like it before, and I'd never experienced anything like it. I talked to Danella Witt about this years ago when it happened, because she used to do a prison ministry, and she'd go into the women's prison and try to minister to the inmates and things. And she's felt that too. There's a few of us that have probably been around that over the years. But it's just a horrible, horrible spirit. I just thank God at that time that, you know, he gave me the discernment to understand what kind of warfare, what kind of people we're up against, what our enemy really is about. I didn't want that. I really didn't. It's like, God, okay, you know what's right. You know what needs to happen here. So you got to make the way. And what was happening was, you know, like I said, the the jury was being influenced by this man against this other man. Now, it didn't make any difference because the guy was, the defendant was guilty. There was no question about it. But this guy was making him look like he was Satan or something. I mean, he was just terrible. But God gave me that discernment at that moment in time. It really, there's no question about the spirit of darkness was on that man. It just was unbelievable. You know, there's a time back in the Bible to talk about in Acts chapter 19, verses 15 through 17. And the evil spirit answered and said, now this was a bunch of guys saw some disciples of Jesus, and they weren't disciples of Jesus, but they wanted to try to do the same things, the same tricks that here all the disciples were casting out demons and doing these mighty works. And these guys, it was Paul and Silas that were casting out demons in this town, but these guys, they tried to do the same thing. And an evil spirit answered and said to them, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? The man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this had become known both all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and the fear fell on all of them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. That's really being unprepared for a situation. Obviously, people out in the world aren't used to dealing with demonic spirits, and it sounds crazy, but that's what the world we live in. We live around this junk all the time. You don't realize what kind of battle that you're walking into, and if you walk into it and you're not prepared, these guys weren't saved, they weren't, you know, baptized in the Holy Spirit, they weren't following God, and here they're trying to cast out a demon. It just makes no sense. They just thought, oh, if they could do it, we can do it too. They didn't know their enemy, and they weren't prepared, obviously. There was another situation that happened in Matthew with the disciples themselves. Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 through 21. And they had come to the multitude, and a man came to him, kneeling down before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on me, my son. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is epileptic and suffers severely, often, for he often falls into the fire and into the water. So I brought him to you, your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast him out? Jesus said, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to the mountains, move from here and there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you to do. However, this kind does not go out except for prayer and fasting. We don't realize that the spirit world is all around us. And these guys, you know, that talk about, you know, I see people all the time with these little stickers on the back of their window that has to do with, it basically is witchcraft. That's really sad, because they don't realize what they've got, the animal that they've got in their hands, that they're trying to control, and they can't control it. That court case was definitely spiritual warfare. I ended up I got selected as being the foreman of the jury, and it was not fun. So we got done with the case, and we go back into this room, and we're sitting there, and here's these piles of paper all over the place with all this evidence and in bags and all this. And the thing that really broke my heart was in the middle of the table was an 8-pound bag of meth. And these people from Portland, they just don't get it. You know, they got gathered from the whole area, and they, oh, you know, it's okay to smoke marijuana. And this is the attitude that they have, and we're fighting this in this case. They think there's nothing wrong with doing drugs. They don't think there's anything wrong with this guy's lifestyle whatsoever, but yet we can't get past it. And so we read the law, and, you know, it's like reading the Bible. When you read the law, this is plain and simple, black and white, this is the way it is. And I couldn't drive the point home. I said, God, what do you want me to do to drive the point home here? I got to make these people understand that this guy is, he's bad, but we got to do this, and we got to get this guy prosecuted. and I picked up this bag of meth. It looks like you got a bag of peanut butter in your hand, really. And I chucked it across the table, and I said, that garbage was delivered less than a mile from my house. And if this guy goes free, this is going to happen again and again and again. And that guy was bringing 100 pounds of meth into the Portland area a year. 100 pounds. 100 pounds. All I could do through the deliberation was pray and pray and pray. And that's just me. I had to pray through it. I just couldn't stand it. I didn't want to be there. God, you put me here. This is the job you give me to do. If you want, he's obviously guilty. God, you're telling me he's guilty, and you're giving me the words. God, give me the words to tell these people that this guy, we need to get out of here. And it just kept coming out. And it was almost as if we're given a message, a prophecy, or a message in tongues or something, and it just kept coming out. You know, this guy did this, this guy did that. There's no question about it. We don't have no argument here. And if you want to get out, we're going to deal with this, and this guy's going to go to jail. He's got to go to jail, period. The equivalent of one of the charges, there's three charges against this guy. They're all drug-related. And one of the charges was the equivalent felony to what Charlie Manson did in the murders years ago. This equivalent charge. Put on the whole full armor of God that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities and against powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Wow. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, that you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place and with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Wow. I'm going to read this scripture in 2 Kings again. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass through this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, and not just once, but or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he said, go and see that he is where he is, that I might send and get him. He's in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, master, my master, what will we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was filled with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Our God will never, ever let us go through anything alone. I said, never, ever let us go through anything alone. Our God is always faithful. We were on our worship team practice on Tuesday nights. We've kind of been talking about this theme for our people that are here and the dedication that we're trying to do. And David Ray is going into the Marine Corps, so he comes in and he's always got his Marine Corps, you know, get up on, you know, some kind of shirt, maybe a pair of pants, and it says Semper Fi on it, which is short for Semper Fi Deus. Is that right? Okay. That interprets into always faithful. And so our worship team has talked about that being our theme, always faithful. It says a lot about spiritual warfare, too, because we start praying on Tuesday nights a lot more, with a lot more heart. It's not just about me praying or somebody else praying. It's in unity, and we know that we have got to start fighting the battle and go after what God wants us to go after. We want to break down strongholds here, and that's what we do. We pray. And that, you know, the thing is that kind of spirit of warfare, it catches on with the whole church. It's not just about what we do here on a Tuesday night, but we pray about other things. Spiritual warfare. God is always faithful. Are you always faithful? Are you always faithful to what God wants you to do? You know, you think about the military, you know, they spend all this money on, you know, trying to be ready. So, you know, they're really right. As Christians, and we're going out into the world, are we ready for the battle? Are you prayed up? Are you reading your Bible daily? Are you praying all the time? It just doesn't say to stop praying. It says to pray all the time. Pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep in mind, keep on praying for all of the saints. How often do you spend all day long? Do you pray for people in this church, people that you love, people that you're dealing with at work? Do you pray for them all day long? See, I don't just pray for saints. I pray for people at work too, even people I don't like. You don't have to like them. You just pray for them. We're in a war. We don't realize what kind of war that we're actually in. But are you ready? Do you know who your enemy is? When you're around people that are really struggling with things, they're dealing with a battle. We should be interceding on their behalf and praying for them. You know, I know somebody who right now who's addicted and he's having a lot of trouble with stuff. And all I can do is just pray and pray and pray and pray. Pastor Kevin said at one time that you just got to peel them like an onion until you get down to what's real. So that's what you do. Are you always ready? Are you always praying? Are you always reading your Bible? You know, it talks about in the Bible, you know, that in Acts, you know, Paul goes, you know, I pray in the Spirit, you know, I pray in a different tongue so that I edify myself. Because when I pray if I pray in a known tongue, that's for edifying everybody. But building yourself up, praying in tongues. Do you sit down at home or when you're in the car or when you're going somewhere, do you pray in tongues? Because that builds you up. You can sit there and you can pray and pray and pray and pray in tongues. Whether you understand it or not, that is the Holy Spirit speaking through you, making specific prayers for specific things that you don't even realize. You got to build yourself up. When a situation like this comes about, I know that God prepared me specifically for being in that case. He wanted me to be there. He wanted me to intercede on somebody's behalf and do the job that I was there to do and leave. When I walked out of that court case, the guy was going to jail. We didn't sentence him. The judge chooses what his sentence might be. You know, we did what we had to do. And, you know, the district attorney comes out and he goes, "How did you guys come to a conclusion?" I said, "Well, God just made a way. You know, you guys did your job. You did the job that you needed to do, but God made the way." And then there's this little tiny guy about 5 foot tall comes out and he's the DEA officer, and he, you know, he's a cop. It's like, man, you guys, they grow them a little small, don't they? And I said, you guys did your job. Thank you. And they shook my hand, and I like felt weird about it. You know, here you just put this guy in, you know, he's guilty, but, you know, God calls us to do a job, but we got to do the job, whatever it is. He's already called us to preach the gospel and to take it to everybody. But when we do that, we have to be prepared to do that. See, we're all warriors of God. Pastor Zach is not just a warrior. Judy's not just a warrior. Gerald's not just a warrior. Everybody in this church that comes in and out of this place are all warriors of God. And we all have to be prepared. We all have to be praying. We all have to be pushing and pushing and going after God, and so that we get that touch that he just carries us on to the next level. I come to church expecting to see what God is going to do and change. We have this thing that's coming, and I just feel that we have this building up of the Holy Spirit happening in this place. It's not just about this service, it's about all of it. Zach has had incredible messages lately, and it totally blesses me to my heart, and the Holy Spirit is behind him, and I know that what God is doing in him is just incredible. But God, it's not just about one or two people, it's about everybody. So tonight, if you want to come down here and pray, the altars are open. We're going to sit here and we're going to pray. Dave's going to put on some music back there. And, you know, if you want prayer specifically for whatever, we're here to pray for that. If you want just a fresh anointing on your life, we'll pray for that. If you got something that you want to deal with, we got people to pray for everything that's here. So the altars are open, and just come on down.